This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, and it's been an amazing Monday. We're going to talk about the 13 fallen here in a moment. This is the third anniversary of when we lost 13 of our warriors in Afghanistan. We will discuss that. That's going to lead us into a military recruitment disaster, the communists destroying our history, emails, the pipe bomber who still manages to evade police. All that and so much more coming up this hour, this final hour of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And remember to email the show whatever you want. We love your emails. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, it is the 3-year anniversary today of the explosion that took 13 of our warriors' lives in Afghanistan, courtesy of the Biden administration. We should, all of us, keep in mind, this is easy to forget, we should keep in mind that it didn't just take 13 lives, 13 young men, there's a woman in there too, but 13 young men and a woman who will never be fathers, mothers, sons, daughters again. They will never get that family Christmas again like you get, like I get. There are also those who were maimed horribly there. I don't know if you saw any of the video or pictures of what Trump did today. Trump went to Arlington Cemetery, Arlington National Cemetery, which is an amazing place. You really should go if you've never been. Like I've told you, don't ever live in D.C., but you should visit. Just the memorials and the museums, they're worth a quick visit. Anyway, he went to Arlington and he did a ceremony honoring them today. And at that ceremony, there were some of the maimed people there. People who are maimed for life. Vargas Andrews was a Marine. Is a Marine. Sorry, I know better than that. Vargas Andrews is a Marine. Obviously, he's not in the Corps anymore. But if you look at the pictures, the video today, you will see a young man there. Looks like he would be healthy, except for the fact that his right arm is gone. His left leg is gone. This young man, I would venture a guess, is not even 30 years old. And he will live the rest of his life without a right arm, without a left leg. If you look at the pictures, the video, you'll see there's a young lady. In fact, she's standing by Trump. I'm looking at a picture of it right now. She's in a wheelchair. A wheelchair she'll be in for the rest of her life because she's paralyzed. And it's important to understand and remember them. It's important to understand why this happened as well. This happened, the main driver for this was because the Biden administration wanted a political win on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. They were planning on doing a big blowout political thing. 20 years after, we got us out of Afghanistan. And that's why the decision was made at the State Department. It was made above the military level against the advice of the generals and military leaders. Why would the State Department just decide, no, we're leaving today, pack it up? Because the Biden administration gave them orders to get all the troops out immediately. It was all about politics. It was all about poll numbers. And they pulled all the troops out immediately. It was insane. They pulled them out of Bagram. Bagram, for you non-military types, it is a what was one of our gigantic bases in Afghanistan. It is in a critical strategic place, and it had been built up for so many years that it was, relatively speaking, a very safe place. Even a suicide bomber would have a very difficult time getting in, getting out, hurting anybody. And we just vacated it. And there was a jail on Bagram that held terrorists. They, of course, went free immediately as soon as we vacated it. And then the Biden administration, so cold, so uncaring, they all went on vacation. Jen Psaki was press secretary at the time she went on vacation. Joe Biden, because he's been dementia-ridden for the entirety of his presidency, he went on vacation as well. Antony Blinken, Secretary of State, on vacation. Afghanistan began to collapse, and the administration was on vacation. And they were even pressed about it by the media at the time. And they said, well, I mean, they'll be back from vacation, just kind of hoping it would all go away. But it didn't go away. And people were dropping from airplanes, and the Biden administration tries to undo what they did and send our troops back in, only Bagram couldn't be seized again. By then, it was in the hands of the Taliban, so we had to walk into a civilian airport and attempt to secure a civilian airport. That's when the worst thing happened. A suicide bomber, allegedly, who was in the jail we let loose from Bagram. He was one of the prisoners who got let loose from Bagram. Suicide bomber, an ISIS guy, walks up to our troops, huge crowd of people, sets off a bomb. I mentioned Vargas Andrews, United States Marine, earlier, the man missing an arm, a leg. Maybe you remember him describing the attack.
About 1730, Staff Sergeant Darren Hoover, friend and mentor. Came to get me from the tower to go help find an Afghan interpreter in the crowd. We found the interpreter and his brother, born with American passports. They told us of five family members still in the canal. I stayed there waiting for the family members, standing against a 2-foot canal wall. 10 minutes passed. Then a flash and a massive wave of pressure. I'm thrown 12 feet onto the ground, but instantly knew what had happened. I opened my eyes to Marines dead or unconscious lying around me. A crowd of hundreds immediately vanished in front of me, and my body was catastrophically wounded with 100 to 150 ball bearings now in it. Almost immediately, we started taking fire from the neighborhood, and I saw how injured I was with my right arm, completely shredded and unusable. I saw my lower abdomen soaked in blood. I crawled backwards roughly seven feet because I thought I was still in harm's way. My body was overwhelmed from the trauma of the blast. My abdomen had been ripped open. Every inch of my exposed body, except for my face, took ball bearings and shrapnel.
Let's allow him to discuss further what happened that day.
I requested for the battalion commander, Lieutenant Colonel Brad Whited, to come to the tower to see what we did. While we waited for him, psychological operations individuals came to our tower immediately and confirmed the suspect met the suicide bomber description. He eventually arrived, and we showed him our evidence, the photos we had of the two men. We reassured him of the ease of fire on the suicide bomber. Pointedly, we asked him for engagement authority and permission. We asked him if we could shoot. Our battalion commander said, and I quote, "I don't know," end quote. Myself and my team leader asked very harshly, "Well, who does? Because this is your responsibility, sir." He again replied, he did not know, but would find out. We received no update and never got our answer. Eventually, the individual disappeared. To this day, we believe he was a suicide bomber. We made everyone on the ground aware. Operations had briefly halted, but then started again. Plain and simple, we were ignored.
And here's his summary of this withdrawal.
Our military members and veterans deserve our best because that is what we give to America. The withdrawal was a catastrophe, in my opinion. And there was an inexcusable lack of accountability and negligence. the 11 Marines, one sailor, and one soldier that were murdered that day have not been answered for.
They have not been answered for. And I don't know that they ever will be answered for on this earth. I don't know that we'll ever have accountability for that. And I'm going to get myself upset again, but I do think on this three-year anniversary, as we'll move on to politics and other things in a moment, I think we should once again play Taps for the Fallen. Rest in peace, brothers. All right. So we are going to actually discuss military recruitment because one thing leads to another, doesn't it? There's a story out today about the Navy. There's one worth paying attention to. So let's dig into that. We'll do some emails, talk about them destroying history, do some other things. Before we do those things, let's take care of your vet bill. Taking your dog to the vet. What did it cost you the last time you had to take your dog to the vet? It's expensive. Freaking backbreaking. It's expensive. What if buying Rough Greens could save you money? You see, you get to go to the, or you have to go to the doctor a lot less when you start eating better, don't you? You know, if you sat and ate McDonald's every single day, you'd have to go to the doctor more. If you ate healthy every day, you'd have to go to the doctor less. Same concept with Rough Greens. Your dog doesn't get nutrition from dog food. It's brown because it's dead. It's just empty calories. It's like giving your dog a double cheeseburger from McDonald's every day. Rough Greens is a nutritional supplement. It's just this green powder. You pour it on your dog's food. Your dog gets all the vitamins, probiotics, antioxidants, whatever your dog needs to be healthier and go to the vet less. Save money. Get your dog some Rough Greens. Call them 833-33-MY-DOG. Or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, a Medal of Honor Monday, which has been awesome. It's been awesome all around. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. We're going to get to them destroying history and stuff like that in just a few minutes. I'm gonna do some military talk here because we were just discussing the failed Afghanistan pullout and just all the disaster that came from that. But, you know, we like history, right? You like history. I like history. Even if you think you don't, you enjoy it when I tell little history stories. And what's really crazy is, I think it's crazy. I find this part of history to be fascinating. The completely different life experiences one has depending on the time and place you were born. And I mean this even when it comes to nations, for instance. Nations. Think of, think of a tribal people of some kind. Maybe a tribe, most of the tribal peoples got overwhelmed and wiped out. There are very few left. But so just pick your tribal person, whoever you happen to have in your head. Indians, Aborigines, the Gauls, whoever it is. You're born into this tribe. You don't choose that. And your tribe is eventually overwhelmed, stomped on, destroyed by a large power. And really, you and the people around you, you can't do anything about it. You're just caught up in the gears of life. and you were born one day into this tribe, and maybe if you were in Gaul, you were a Celt in Gaul, you were born one day and you had a happy life and you were doing whatever, and then one day you find yourself in the Roman salt mines for the very end of your short life where they work you to death. Totally out of your control. I think about that. And I also think about this. I think about, speaking of, we'll make it about the Romans, actually. I think about the Romans who lived in this massive empire, the biggest, greatest, most powerful empire on the planet. And I think about the ones who were alive during the time periods. This is a long time period. It's not like it happened overnight. Watching this massive, undefeatable empire crumble. You know, you know a bit about the Romans in the UK, right? I'll just say the UK. I never know what to call it. England, Great Britain, Ireland, who knows? The UK. You know about the Roman conquest there. If you don't, it was Julius Caesar is one of the first ones to cross that channel and go over there. But eventually, you know, what's her name? Boudica, you've heard about the female tribal barbarian, however they want to describe her. Britannia, the female barbarian queen who fought against the Roman army. She got massacred, I should note. A lot of this is just, I am woman, hear me roar revisionist history. But you've heard about these things. The Romans had been established in Britannia. In fact, they built a wall, Hadrian's Wall. They built this huge wall across the place because they had so many problems with the barbarians to the north. But get this. You know, we talk about Rome or Romans. We're always talking about this expansion or this battle or this big win. At some point in time, Rome began to get weaker financially, culturally, militarily, began to get weaker. And it got weak enough at one point, they abandoned the UK. The Romans just packed up one day, went back down south, got on some boats, and went back to the European mainland and just left it. They didn't have the resources, the manpower, the money to do that anymore. What must that have been like if you were a Roman, a proud Roman, watching the empire shrink? The empire doesn't shrink. What do you mean shrink? We've never shrank. We're the Romans. What? Shrink. But they shrank, and they never returned. And I think on some level, not to get too heavy or too depressing, I think you and I are living that right now. Here's a headline. The Navy could sideline 17 support ships due to manpower issues. 17 ships. It's not small. That's huge. 17 sent to the sidelines because we have so destroyed recruiting with all this woke filth, with abandoning our troops without accountability, with all the vaccine, forced vaccine stuff. We have so destroyed American recruiting that the greatest Navy on the planet is about to mothball 17 vessels because we don't have enough sailors to put on the ships. Isn't that kind of a little bit of a gut punch? When I read it, I thought, man, that friggin' sucks, doesn't it? So anyway, I'm going to talk about this John Lewis statue, and I want to get to negotiations with the communists and how we should handle things like that. Before I do that, I want to get to this. Speaking of the Navy, this is applicable. We have a low testosterone crisis in the country right now, a crisis. Estrogen is in the water. You shower in it. You drink it. It's because of all the women's birth control. It doesn't get filtered out. We are guzzling estrogen and lowering our T levels. Low T affects 20-year-olds now. That's crazy. When you're 20, you should have testosterone dripping from your pores. Now we don't. So you have to combat that without sticking a freaking needle in your arm. Naturally. That's what a male vitality stack from Chalk does. Natural herbal supplements, 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days. you're going to feel better than you have in years. Your mind is going to work better. Your energy is going to have you bouncing off the walls. No more, I'm tired, I'm sad in the afternoon. No more. Call them. Text them. Got questions? They're right there. 50-CHOK-3000. That's 50-CHOQ-3000. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Of course, it's been an amazing Monday, and we're going to get to them destroying history, negotiating with the commies, and other things here in a moment. But Chris asked me something during the break, and I thought maybe I should. It would be helpful, instead of answering him privately, I should answer everybody. I know you're going to find this stunning, but Chris is trying to save money. He's talking about car shopping, and you know that I am new to the media. I've lived a normal life most of my life, from construction to a bunch of other things, but right before I started doing this, I was in sales, RV sales. Remember, I was in RV sales, okay? And I ended up being a sales manager, so I know a lot about the sales process, how salesmen work, sales managers, how all this stuff works. I've lived that life. And Chris was asking me, how much do I beat up the car company to come down in price? How much is too much? Okay, so first, let's just address the two extremes. You might be guilty of one of these two extremes, and you don't want to be. First, you don't ever want to be a chump who walks in and just pays full sticker price without any negotiation whatsoever. That's a chump. Don't be a chump. That's one extreme. I don't think I have to talk you out of that, because very few people do that. So let's set that extreme aside. This next extreme might apply to you. What I'm about to say might make you angry. You might be offended. I don't give a crap. What I'm about to tell you is true. It's time for Daddy Jesse. Don't be the guy who thinks you're being big tough guy, who treats it like a competition and beats him down and beats him down and beats him down until you get the lowest possible price. I'm not saying that because I don't care about your pocketbook. I do. I want you to save money. I do. If you get that, there is such a thing as diminishing returns. Or you can be that guy, beat him up and beat him up and beat him up until finally you get to the point where the salesman and really the dealership themselves, because there's not actually that much markup in cars, believe it or not, but you could be the guy who beats them down to the point they don't get to take home a paycheck. You can do that. You absolutely can. It is your right. And you can go brag to all your friends. You're not going to believe the deal I got on my Ford. I told them I wasn't paying a nickel more. You can do that. Go ahead and be that guy. Treat the salesman like the bad guy. Treat the dealership like the bad guy. You're the big tough guy who fought for every dime. Go right ahead. When you need a favor, they won't be there. When you come back in the next time, they're not going to help you. No, but I'm really looking for this. Oh, sure, Bob. We'll get right on helping you out there. They'll never even call you back. In fact, if you're a big enough jerk, and I have done this, if you're a big enough jerk, they'll have notes in their file to not help you at all or screw you over. Here's something for you. I have a list. In fact, I still have it right here on my phone. I used to save the name and number of every customer I worked with or sold an RV to. And I had a very, very simple system. When my phone rang and the caller ID would pop up, I would get one of three things. either there would be just a name. If it was just a name, I knew it wasn't an RV customer. So it would be, you know, friend, family, relative, someone else. Or if there was one X, it would be an X dash name. We'll say X dash Chris. I knew that that was an RV customer and I wanted to take that call. I wanted to take that call. He's someone I had sold, whatever. I wanted to help him out. He was having trouble, whatever. I wanted to take that call. But if it was two X's, if it was XX dash Chris, I never took the call and I won't return your calls. Oh, you're broke down somewhere? You need a hand? Call someone else. Oh, you did. And you can say that's wrong. You'd say that's right. You're dealing with human beings. And I'll also say this. What's the difference between a $50,000 car note or a $51,000 car note? Well, if you get a five-year loan, I'm doing this off the top of my head, 6% interest rates, $20 a month, I would guess. $20 a month to have your phone call taken, to have your mother taken care of when you need your mom to buy a car. She got in a wreck. She needs a new car. Do you want the car salesman? Hey, Marty, you sold me that Toyota Tacoma last year. Do you have anything nice used that's coming in? My mom needs help. Do you want to be on Marty's short list? Oh, you got a breakdown in your car? Sorry, alternator's going bad. Do you want to be one of the first people on the list in? Or do you want the little note marked with your name on it saying you will be dead last for all service in the future of this company? Because those notes happen all the time too. I am not telling you and would never tell you, oh, don't negotiate, just pay full price. I would never say that to you in a million years. But if you're going to beat them down to the point where they don't get to make a dime, they don't run a charity, they pay their bills just like you pay your bills, they got to make that sale, pay the mortgage, buy the kids' shoes. If you beat them down to the point they don't get to make a paycheck, fine. I hope you don't ever have to return. So Chris asked, how far is too far? When I walk in a dealership, a car dealership, because I negotiate as well. Again, I don't pay chump prices either. When I walk in a car dealership, this is actually going to go apply directly back to Democrats and communists here in a moment. They're going to generally take the first number they give you is going to be an extreme position. They're going to try to rip your head off. Get the dealer to make as much as he can, salesman to make as much as he can. I will in turn take an extreme position. So, nope, that truck is $40,000. Take it or leave it. And I know that's way too much because I've done at least a little bit of research before I showed up. So I will counter with something equally ridiculous. Let's say I found some wholesale dealer usually wholesalers are in places like Ohio. There's a lot of them in Ohio. I found some wholesaler dealer where I can buy the truck for $28,000. Okay, I know that's on the extreme. They can't do that. It's a wholesaler. So that'll be my counter, though. My initial counter will be, oh, okay, you wanted $40,000? $28,000, I'll buy it today. They're going to laugh. They're going to scream. They can't do that either. If you have to play the tough guy game, that's fine. I don't mind that. I've played it myself. I watched my dad play it my whole life. That's fine. Say, okay, well, call me when you want to sell a truck. They will call you with 35, 36, 37, 34. They're going to meet you somewhere. Tell them that the best you can do at a fair price. They'll say, yeah. That's when you throw in one little extra piece of cheddar that you want. What I do whenever I buy a vehicle, I live in Texas, so it's unique for me. I always throw in window tint. It's a big deal down here. I tell him, you know what? If he came back 35, let's say he said 35. You know what? Fine. I'll take it. You got to tint the windows for me, though. He'll say, oh, man, hang on. I got to talk to the sales manager. Who'll have to play that game. He'll hang up, go pretend like he's talking to the sales manager. He'll come back in 5 seconds and say, you got a deal. Can you come in today? He's always going to ask you that. Come in today. Now, he just did you a solid. If you can, do him a solid. That doesn't mean you have to come in today. But if you can't, tell him, hey, I can't come in today, but I can be there at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. And he'll say, I'll see you then. Give him a time so we can have the paperwork printed for you. There you go. You were treated well. He was treated fairly. And when you call him again, when your kid needs a car, in 5 years, when you're trading it in, when you need a favor at the mechanic, he takes that call. Or you can treat him like the enemy. Beat him up so he doesn't make a nickel. He'll never talk to you again. Or if he does, that might be worse for you because he'll probably try to screw you over the next time. You just did it to him. You wanted a competition. Well, now it's a competition. You see how that works? All right. I know I made a bunch of people mad. Speaking of competition, let's discuss the communists just briefly, and then we'll get to some headlines I didn't get to. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show, but we will probably be back tomorrow. I'm just kidding. We're going to be back tomorrow. You can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, and I'm going to get to this monument they're building here, and I think I'm going to get to it, but I want to have a different discussion here because we were just discussing negotiations. If I don't happen to get to this monument thing, I'll get to it tomorrow, but I heard this on MSNBC. I want you to listen to this.
Project 2025 goes much, much farther than that. People can agree that you should be able to control your border. But not only does Project 2025 aim to close the border and to militarize the border, it aims to use every lever of government to find, detain, and deport undocumented people, going so far as to take funding and housing away from people who are just associated with undocumented immigrants.
This sounds awesome so far. Anyway, go on.
Look at this recommendation. It's to the Department of Education on page 167.
Yeah, enough of that. I wanted to play that really briefly because I want to discuss negotiations when it comes to communism and how the right has failed at this so many times. So we were just talking about cars and things like that. So let me ask you something. There's a meeting. I have an important business meeting. I am trying to purchase something. I'm trying to purchase a store. I'm trying to purchase a warehouse. That's what I want. I want a warehouse. Chris owns the warehouse, and we're about to have a meeting, and we're about to negotiate a price. Now, Chris, this is just a hypothetical, is a very bad guy. Very, very bad guy. Dirty, dishonest. And I know this about Chris going in, very similar to our negotiations with communists. I know this about Chris going in. I think a fair price for the warehouse is $100,000. Chris knows it's probably $100,000, but Chris walks in and says, I want $1 million for the warehouse. Now, let me ask you something. If the fair price is $100,000, and Chris is demanding $1 million, what should my offer be? He's the first one to put an offer out there. He said $1 million. I think it should be $100,000. Should my offer be, let me ask you, should my offer be $500,000? After all, that's half. That's meeting him, you know, halfway. Or should my offer be $50,000? What should the offer be if you actually want to pay a fair price? Well, the offer should be $50,000 because he took an extreme position. And if you want to end up at a reasonable, moderate position, then when a bad guy with nefarious motives takes an extreme position, you must counter his extreme position with an equally extreme position to give you balance. It's not that you want to be an extremist. It's not that I want to pay $50,000 for the warehouse. It's that I understand I'm dealing with a devious, bad actor who's trying to rip me off, and he's taken such an extreme position that I automatically know I have to take an extreme position if I want to get anywhere close to $100,000. If he says it's $1 million and I counter at $500,000, well, I automatically know I'm going to end up somewhere between $1 million and $500,000, and I just got ripped off because the fair price was $100,000. Do you see how this applies to politics and the way they discuss things like illegal immigration? This is why the James Lotie Lankfords of the GOP have killed us for so long. The communists want the border completely open. They believe America is such a despicable, evil place, an oppressive place, that anyone in the world should be able to come here and pick the body apart the way they do. That's how the average American Democrat thinks. They want the border open. They want the country to collapse because of the border being open. The counter to that position cannot be, well, let's open it a little. Let's amnesty not all of them. That would be extreme. A few. And that's why we always lose. And it doesn't just apply to the border. It applies on every issue. We try to meet them in their extremism, and therefore they only get wins. Sometimes huge wins, sometimes little wins. Instead of taking an equally extreme position the other way, which will provide balance, we try to match their extreme position with moderation, and that's how we get our lunch eaten every single time. I just had to get that off my chest before the show ends. We ended up running out of time because I didn't get to the statue thing. And I'm going to have time for headlines. I'm going to have time to tell you about IFCJ first. You know, I'm sure you pay attention to the news now. It's bad. We now officially have strikes inside of Lebanon. It's bad over there. It's really bad. It is. And people are going to live because of IFCJ. People have already lived because of IFCJ. There were victims of that October 7th attack laying in the back of an ambulance, listening to bullets ping off of the armored walls, who lived because the IFCJ provided armored ambulances for that area. That's a true story. Did you know that? IFCJ's looking for 500 people right now. They already have more than 150, but they were looking for 500 total to give $150. If that happens, they have a donor who's going to match 500 donations, $500 to $150 donations. If you got that in you, you want to help out the folks in the Holy Land, call them. 888-488-IFCJ. Or go to supportifcj.org to give today.
And now,
here's a headline.
By the, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Suspect was across the street from the Capitol Police squad car while walking to the January 5th bomb drop. This hoodie-clad guy who had the pipe bombs on January 6th, this guy seems to be a mastermind who the cops couldn't see. He knew how to step out of the field of view of the camera, and he somehow knew how to get to the big corporations to block his geolocation data for his cell phone. This guy is either a criminal mastermind or works for the government. Telegram CEO Pavel Durov reportedly arrested at the Paris airport. This would be a Pavel Durov. In fact, I'll play you some audio of this tomorrow, who said repeatedly the FBI has threatened him to have access to you and your social media accounts. Something to keep in mind about the government turning its guns against you. Also keep this in mind. I ran out of time on the show because I went off on a couple of things, but we'll be back to do it all tomorrow, I promise. That's all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.